Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Miller, the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary of the Congregation. My time is the 12th Hour. And Elgin, Texas, September 5th, 2025, or the 14th day of Elul, 2029. We will start our first service today. And we're in one timely greetings, or two timely greetings, actually. One timely greetings, 36. It says, comfort ye, my people. The end of your long and trying journey, if not awaken now, they may sleep forever. Text for prayer. We're going to do Ellen G. White's reading from her. It's taken from the Mount of Blessing, page 198. Okay, for the narrow upward road leading to home and rest, furnish Yahshua with an impressive figure of the Christian way. For the path which I have set before you, he says, is narrow. The gate is difficult of the entrance, for the golden rule excludes all pride and self-seeking. There is indeed a wider road, but its end is destruction. If you would climb the path of the spiritual life, you must constantly ascend, for it is an upward way. You must go with the few, for the multitude will choose a downward path. In the road to death, the whole race may go with all their worldliness, and all their selfishness, all their pride, dishonesty, and moral debasement. There is room for every man's opinions and doctrines, space to follow his inclination, to do whatever his self-love may dictate, in order to go in the path that leads to destruction. There is no need of the searching for the way. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad, and the feet naturally turn into the path that ends in death. For we should pray for the power to enable us to turn aside from the broad path, from the fallen self, the path in which we find ourselves from birth up. We should pray to choose the narrow path with the few, to know for a certainty that only the narrow upward way leads to home and to peace. End of our first thought. We'll go right on into now a sermon entitled Comfort Ye, My People. Vicki Hollis, April the 12th, 1947. He says, for the last week, he said, we finished studying the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and now, since we can be readily seen, the chapters 36 to 39 increases, interrupt with historical data, the same as the Isaiah's prophecy, we shall continue where inspiration picks up the thread of the thought in chapter 40 with a tender plea under Yahweh's message bearing paper. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort you, my people, saith to Yahweh. Speak, ye comforted, unto your virgin, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received at Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. Verse 2 leaves no doubt that inspiration is speaking unto a people in the latter days, the days in which the warfare of pilgrimage and capacity of the Yahweh weary people are accomplished, having received double for their sin and rebellion. Their iniquity is pardoned, and are now soon to be delivered. You cannot afford to overlook this comforting message. You must not neglect to make ready, for that is the reason that it is now unsealed and freely delivered unto you. Prepare to meet the Yahweh is his keynote. Isaiah 40, verse 3. For the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our Yahweh. 2, verse 3, found fulfillment in the work of John the Baptist, but the verses preceding and also the verses following definitely apply unto the people in the latter days, and only partially unto the people in John's day. Therefore, the truth stands out boldly that the direct fulfillment of this chapter is found in our time, thus making John's work an ensample of our work, John's work, the type, ours, the antitype. For the wilderness and the desert, Isaiah 40, verse 3, in contrast to the vineyard, the house of Judah, literally and antitypically says, the voice of him that cries in the land of the Gentiles, that says, prepare ye the way of the Yeshua, make straight in the Gentile world a highway for Yahweh. Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. To make this a highway straight, the voice is, as it were, to raise up the valleys, cut through the mountains and hills, and grind down the rough places, that is, every obstruction must and will be removed. The saints must be gathered regardless where they live. Isaiah 40, verse 5, and the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Yahweh has spoken it. This shall come to pass as soon as the highway is made ready. Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8. For the voice, said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered, the flower faded, because the spirit of the Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our Yahweh shall stand forever. For the voice proclaims that all are grass, that all their goodliness is man, and man is as the flowers of the field. But the word of Yahweh stands forever. It must be then that men are blind unto these realities, else they would not need be reminded of them. It must be that they are depending upon flesh instead of upon the word of Yahweh and His Spirit. Isaiah 40, verse 9 to 11. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Yahweh, behold the Yahweh, behold the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Behold your Yahweh, the son of Yahweh will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young. For the message that this chapter contains, we see, is not a message to be preached to the world, but to the cities of the antitypical Judah. And that would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, that we are in the midst of today, wherever we may be. For the church and those who proclaim it are the citizens of the antitypical Zion, outside the 12th hour, and Jerusalem. Members of the SDA Church, they are fearlessly to lift up their voices with the strength. They are to explain that the people whom the Yahweh uses to get his work done are his arm. And that would be the house of Judah, leadership, and that would be the antitypical Elijah David, in charge of the everlasting kingdom of heaven set up here on earth in these last days in the stratosphere by the tower during the judgment of the living time, during the harvest time. This is which Yahshua having already come back and taken his place upon the seat of the throne of David, the antitypical David. That's Luke 1:32 and 3:31, and that's in the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8, that they are to rule for him. Now this him is Yahshua. So Yahshua's right arm, this everlasting kingdom of David, are to rule for him, that his reward is with him, and his work yet before him. So he comes and sits up on his throne, sits his kingdom up with antitypical David, Elijah in charge of it. And then he says, then his work goes before him. The power of Yahshua supplies the power, and he supplies the knowledge and the wisdom, and he just sends his servants forth And you may be surprised to see that that mixed resurrection has taken place, and the disciples have been resurrected to take up their place on the 12 thrones of tribes of Jacob in these last days. That's found in Matthew. And to help the modern day saints to carry this message to the world. Don't be surprised. Ellen G. White's going to be resurrected to take up her work on you here in the kingdom, to continue her work. She didn't finish her work. She's going to join the saints in these last days to finish her work. But she was laid in the grave temporarily for a while, that he shall feed his flock. And with his arm, with his shirt, he shall gather the lambs, the newly converted, and carry them to his kingdom. Isaiah 40, verse 12 to 20. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scale, and the hills in a balance? Who hath stretched the spirit of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, or being his counselor? Let's do that again. Who hath directed the spirit of the Father Yahweh, or being his counselor, for it talks about that in Isaiah 9, 6 to 8, it says, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that was given unto his churches last days, are also the counselor of the Almighty Father Yahweh. So Yahshua is a counselor, as well as our King and our Redeemer, and our High Priest, and our Servant. Alright? It says, hath taught him with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of the judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of the understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. For all the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted unto him less than nothing, and vanity. Unto him then will ye liken the Yahweh, the Father? For what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with the gold, and cast a silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be removed. Those who are ignorant of the Yahweh liken him unto something, but the great question is, unto what are we liking him? Unto something, though there is no comparison of him. Isaiah 40, 21 to 26. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told unto you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? For it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as a grasshopper that stretches out the heaven as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be. They shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. Unto whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on the high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by the number? He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Oh, how great a Yahweh is our Yahweh, and how so are we for the grasping of his promises. How so are we for the letting him take full charge of us, just as he has taken the charge of the stars. Well, he created the stars. I suppose that would speak for itself. Isaiah 40 verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Yahweh? Obviously, Yahweh's people are mistaken concerning his knowledge of their ways. Isaiah 40, verse 28-31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Yahweh, the Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? For he giveth power unto the faint, and unto them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Okay. He says that for these verses explain that the Yahweh's people need to know all these things before they earn the right to walk into his holy kingdom. And what a wonderful privilege is ours if we but wait on the Yahweh, if we but remain true and faithful unto his word, then he shall renew our strength, and like the eagles we shall run and not be weary, we shall walk and not faint. As a great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is past approaching, and as we are already told what to do to make ready, we need not be found wanting. Surely this salvation is nigh them that fear him. And what a wonderful privilege, read that again. And what a wonderful privilege is ours if we but wait on Yeshua. If we but remain true and faithful unto his word, then we shall renew our strength. Like the eagle, we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Again, as the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua is fast approaching, and as we are already told what to do to make ready, we need not be found wanting. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. For the truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from the heaven. Yea, the Yeshua shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall sit us in the way of his steps. Psalms 85:9-12. What a comforting message this has been for us. Any wonder why the Almighty originally commands, comfort you, comfort you, my people. End of number 36, one-timey greeting. We're going to go right on into number 37, one-timey greeting. It says, the end of your long and trying journey. Our subject for this afternoon is found in the 51st chapter of the Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yeshua. Did I give you a title for this sermon? The End of Your Long and Trying Journey, April 19, 1947, by the Vicki Hodgett. And he says, our subject for this afternoon is found in the 51st chapter of the Isaiah. And ironically enough, I was reading Isaiah 50 and 51 yesterday for a special sermon from the Bible. And Isaiah 51 is a wonderful chapter. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yeshua. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and unto the hold of the pit whence ye are dug. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. In this chapter, Yahweh is speaking unto the descendants of the Abraham, unto a generation that is following after righteousness. Okay. We now need to find in the stream of the time the exact generation that the inspiration here is addressing. Is it the people of the Moses time? Of the Isaiah's time? Of the Apostles' time? Of our time? Or of some other time? If the chapter is addressed unto us, then our need of the studying it and our interest in it will be infinitely greater than it would be otherwise. The information we are seeking is found in verse 17. Awake, awake, put on, stand up, O Yahusha, which has drunk at the hand of the Yahweh, the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the sinmen and wrung them out, Isaiah 51:17. For the verse reveals that Yahweh is speaking unto a people who have gone through all the sorrows, hardships, captivity, and persecution allotted them to go through for their sin and disobedience. They have drunk of the dregs of the cup of the trembling and even run them out. As at long rest there are no more dregs left in the cup. This could not be said unto the people in the Moses' time, nor in the Isaiah's time, nor even in the Apostles' time, for it could not be said unto any people at any time, but unto those who have come to the time of their liberation from want, fear, and insecurity that they have created through their sin and rebellion for the divine calling to awake, however, reveals that though the time of the deliverance has come, yet they are in the deep spiritual sleep, ignorant of these good things. Thus saith Yahshua, thy Yahweh, the Father. Let's read that again. Thus saith Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and thy Yahweh that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Isaiah 51:22. Yahweh, you see, positively addresses his people who have already taken all the punishment they are to take, and at long last he is pleading their cause. This cannot be said at any other time unto any other people hitherto. For how do we know that the time is here, and that the Yahshua is now speaking unto us? I read the author was talking about Adventists. When he says us, he's saying the Seventh Day Adventists and the Davidian Seventh Day Adventists, the Shepherd God. That's who he's referring to when he used that pronoun us. We know it from the fact that these long concealed prophecies on the subject are now for the first time unfolded and brought to attention. We are now ready to study the chapter verse by verse. Isaiah 51:1-2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him. Now who did Sarah bear? She bore Isaac, that were the descendants of Isaac today, through Jacob, and through David, and through Yahshua at the cross, and now down to our time. That's who Sarah buried at the time. for I called him. Alone and blessed him and increased him. That's talking about Abraham. Okay. For the Yahweh advises his people of today to hearken unto him. They are those who are endeavoring for the obtaining of the righteousness, those who are seeking for the Yeshua, son of Yahweh, and who are anxious for the having of a revival and reformation among them. Now they are now urged to look unto the rock whence they are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence they are digged. We are not to conclude that the Jews are the only descendants of the Abraham, and those who are fortunate enough to have this revelation brought unto them are the people. There is no other safe conclusion. If the Yahweh causes the prophecy to be written, sealed, and then unsealed at his will, and at the time appointed, the Jews, therefore, are not the only descendants of the Abraham. To find who these the seekers of the righteousness really are, there are several genealogical facts to consider. Number one, only the citizens of the kingdom of the Judah, the three-tribe kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, received the title Jews. Well, that's wrong. The Greek Orthodox Jews that hated the apostles, because they were all chosen the tribe of Judah, They hate them. Those Pharisees, those Greek Orthodox Jews, they hated the apostles, the fact that they were all chosen from the tribe of Judah. So they give them a slang word. They call them Jews, short for Judea or Judean. And then they made Jews apply to all 12 tribes of Israel. But when they say Jews here, we're only talking about tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Number two, those of the 10 tribe kingdom, the kingdom of the Israel, were scattered among the nations, and there they completely lost their identity. Number three, the Christian church herself is an upshoot of the Jewish church and nation. The apostles and her fathers up until about 35 A.D. Were all Jews. Then it was that again a multitude of the Jews lost their identity by the calling themselves a Christian. They didn't call themselves Christian. They didn't name themselves Christian. They were the Greek Orthodox that hated them. Those apostles and their descendants that called and that changed their name from apostolic Sabbatarians to Christian, meaning followers of Christ or Christo. And that's another title that the Greek Orthodox Jews that hated Yahshua gave him a new name calling Christ. Okay. Comparatively speaking, only a few Jews or Judeans from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin from the kingdom of Judah have preserved their national title for the Jews as the descendants of the early apostolic Jews and the descendants of the 10 tribes down into the stream of time must have increased unto a great innumerable multitude. Unto Abraham's seed was to be as a sin for the Abraham's seed. Is to be as a sin of the seed for the multitude. For it is therefore obvious that the few identified Jews of today are not the only descendants of the Abraham, but that many of the Gentiles must be of the Abraham. Since this mixed up situation exists, hardly any one can really say for sure that he is not one of the Abraham's children. Perhaps many of the nations whom the world calls Gentiles are the children of the Abraham. We do not know for sure who is who. For the Yahweh, however, has kept a perfect genealogical record of, for the, he said, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto those, unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of the Zion, it shall be said this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her, for the Yahshua shall count when he riseth up the people, that this man was born there. Selah. Isaiah 87:4-6. Furthermore, though one be of the Gentile blood, if he truly accepts the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, as his Savior and Redeemer and Emancipator by his blood, Revelation 5, verse 9 to 11, by his spiritual birth becomes of the seed of the Abraham, which says the inspiration, if ye be the Yahshua's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. For the children of the Abraham here addressed, therefore, are not to be sought among the identified unbelieving Seventh-day Adventist Jews today, but among the Protestants of the Sunday-keeping world, most notably the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, Methodists, and Baptists, and non-denominationals. They are admonished to look unto Abraham and Sarah and to consider that when Yahweh called Abraham, though he was alone, he nevertheless obeyed, and Yahweh blessed him, that in spite of all the apparent impossibilities with both him and Sarah, he increased him. What if you personally and alone were called by his word, as was Abraham, to stand alone for the truth and righteousness, would you be a hero for Yahweh, as was Abraham? Or would you do as did the backsliding Judah, Iscariot? If we were not privileged to choose as was Abraham, Yahweh would not have reminded us of the Abraham's experience. We are plainly told not to lose courage, but to have faith in the Yahweh, for he intends to bless and increase us as he blessed and increased our ancestors. for the Abraham and Sarah, for the reason he gives us, gives for the blessing us as he blessed them, is this, Isaiah 51:3, for the Assyrian shall comfort Zion, for he shall comfort all her waste places, and he shall make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. For the focal point of the scriptures is the rebuilding of the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, and that is our charge, Isaiah 51:4-5. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. So Isaiah says it. Isaiah 51:4-5. Therefore hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is already gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people, for the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. We are asked to hearken unto the Yahshua because the law and a judgment are to proceed from him. So Yahshua the Son of Yahweh, we're to wait, we're to hearken unto him when he comes, because a law and a judgment are to proceed from him after he comes in the 12th parabolic hour. These are to be a light unto the people. Again says Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of the Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahshua from Yahusha, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn the war any more, Isaiah 2:2-4. For the law is to go forth when the mountain kingdom of the Yahshua's house is established on the top of the mountain's kingdom, and when it is exalted above the nations, or above the hill, then the light shall cause the rebuked nations to flow unto the mountain of the Yahshua, and also, instead of the beating of their plowshares and their swords, and their pruning hooks into the spears, Joel 3:10, they will beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, Isaiah 2:4. That time is here now, and this is what's going forth from the United States government, capital, Washington, D.C., Donald Trump in charge. It says, to say my righteousness is near and my salvation has gone forth, has already gone forth, is to say that our salvation has been here, but righteousness is about to come. And how cruel, what is the Yahshua's arm that judges the people? This we shall see as we read Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on that strength, O arm of the Yahshua. Awake, as in the ancient days, as in the generations of the old. Art thou not it that hast cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea as a way for the ransom to pass over? How illogical it would be for the Yahweh to be trying to awake himself as though he or his own arm is asleep. This verse shows that he calls for the Exodus movement, his arm, rightly so, because Yahweh does his work with his servants. His servants therefore are his arm, and they shall judge, rule the people, and the people shall trust on them. Sufficient. I'm seeing all this. Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes unto the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like the smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in the like manner. But my salvation, the planet of Parker, I quote, parentheses, my quote, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20 of the New and Living Way, shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Once that righteousness is established with his church here on earth, his everlasting kingdom of David, it says it will not be abolished. Like that the Catholic Church did when they abolished it in 538, they didn't abolish it, they just trampled it underfoot for 1260 years. We are necessarily reminded that all sins shall perish. Oh no, I'm going to say it again. For we necessarily are reminded that all else shall perish. But those who obtain the Yahweh's salvation, let's do it again. Only those who obtain the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh's salvation through faith in the blood of his blood of the everlasting covenant, and his righteousness shall stand forever. Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, for the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their reviling. Those who know his righteousness, the people unto whom this truth is revealed and who have His law in their heart obviously will suffer from the reproach and reviling of men, that they are admonished not to fear, and what shall be the end of their adversary? Here is the answer, Isaiah 51:8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like the wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua will be from generation to generation. Finally, or painfully, we pity our little sin brethren who are so angrily but blindly against us. Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Yahshua. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Art thou not it that has cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? If his people were not asleep, then what need would there be for the calling them to obey, to awaken? For we are glad that Yahweh himself, and for we are glad that the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua, himself is arousing us and plainly telling us that as our forefathers did the great things, we also, as the Yahshua's arm, can and shall do even greater things than they. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of Yahshua shall return and come with the singing and the Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and no mourning shall flee away. Thanks be unto Yahweh that He is not only to awaken His people and to cause them to sing while marching and design, but is also able to remove their sorrows and their mourning forever. He is well able to put everlasting joy upon their heads, as if it were hell. I even, I am He that comforted you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as bread? In an endeavor for the showing us how absurd it is for the fearing men that shall die, as does grass under foot, for the inspiration in this verse emphasizes the promise or compass of the Isaiah 51:11. It must be that with some the fear of men is great. Now that we have the Yahweh's word and comfort, let us fear Him who only is to be feared. Isaiah 51:13. Let's read that last part again. It says, it must be that with some the fear of men is great. Now that we have Yahweh's word and comfort, let us fear Him who only is to be feared. I know. Well, Ecclesiastes says, fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So it's talking about the Father. that I dare say you have to fear his son also, Yahshua, when he speaks to you as well. Isaiah 51:13. And forget us, Yahshua, thy maker. Let's do that again. And forget us, Yahweh, thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy, and were and where is the fury of the oppressor? When we begin to fear man, just that moment we forget the Yahweh, for the question, where is the fury of the oppressor, implies that in reality there is not any, that it is only a bluff, Isaiah 51:14-15. For the captives exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Yahshua, thus Savior, that divideth the sea, whose ways roared, for the Yahshua of the host is his name, son of Yahweh. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but the Yahweh does not hope for the sea itself to divide the, he divides it at will and causes his people to go through on the dry ground. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heaven and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto the Zion, thou art my people. Here we have the Yahweh's own statement that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from him. Moreover, he assures us that his hand, his care and keeping are around us, that by this means he may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of Yahshua the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trimming and wrung them out. Awake, awake, my friend, unto the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over, for we are never again to go through them. For he who divides the sea can indeed make us free. Isaiah 51:18. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. For the Zion's past and even present condition is now brought to view for our consideration. What a desolation, what a terrible state for a church to be in after having brought forth many converts. There is not a one to give her a helping hand. Here we are told that the laity and Laodicea are not of any spiritual help unto the mother, the minister. No, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. They are all more or less in the agreement to stay wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. Isaiah 51:19. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? For the David of old was given to choose one of three things. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? There be 3 days pestilence in thy land. 2 Samuel 24:10-13. Now, in the like manner, Yahweh's people are asked. These are to choose another desolation, either desolation. That's to, for the Yahweh's people now are asked to choose either desolation or and destruction or famine and the sword. Then, unlike in the David's day, he himself solved our problem if we let him. These are some of the things which the Yahweh's people have gone through, even how some of these things still surround them. Our hope, nevertheless, is in the Yahshua's deliverance. Isaiah 51:20-22. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Yahshua. The rebuke of thy Yahweh. Therefore, hear now this. Thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith Yahshua, and the son of Yahweh, that pleadest the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the enemy, even the dregs of the cup of thy fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Shall we not be thankful to know that everyone whose name is found in the book shall be delivered, even from the time of the trouble unto whom we are soon to enter? Michael shall stand up for his people, Daniel 12:11, or Daniel 12:1. Once he gathers us, he shall never again scatter us, Isaiah 51:23. But I will put it, the cup of the chimney of this fury, into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said unto thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as a street unto them that went over, for the tables are turned. But the Yahweh's people once had to pass from their enemies, the enemies must soon take from them. Let us therefore not neglect to take advantage of the Yahweh's plea of the deliverance. Yes, my friend, since our long and trying journey is at an end, That is as the Yahweh's arm gives the earnest need unto his awakening call. Now at the end of our long and trying journey, let us allow nothing to hold us back from the obtaining the two things that are to make us stand forever, Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness. We are now asked to choose either to stand on the Yahweh's side or on the side of his adversaries, those whom we fear, those are who are doing everything to close our eyes unto Yahweh's truth. For it is time either to choose the Yahweh, his spirit and his revealed truth, or to choose a man, desolation and destruction, the famine and the sword. This brings in for our study number 37 at this hour. Let us close now with a song.